Y'all all right? Yeah. Well, there's a pastor y'all in here. That's good. Well, was any of y'all here last night?
Yeah.
Good. Then you'll understand some of the things I'm going to say today. I truly, last night, I really finally got right open with y'all. Really, that was just raw out there. Slam the steaks down. Eat it if you can. Go ahead. Really. Can't eat it? Go back to your bottle and hush. Nursery's right in the back. Hallelujah. See, I'm started already. Now, I've already started sweating. I'm serious. It, the fire of God is on. I told my wife, I leaned over and told her, I said, I cannot believe this. It's already on me again. Look, you wait your whole life for this kind of a touch. You really do. I've been in the gospel. My daddy was a Southern Baptist preacher, and I didn't like it too much in them days. You know, I was pretty rebellious, but I am so thankful for my heritage now. Amen. And all of that. And my whole life, the generations that have passed, all the pastors and preachers in our family, you know, I am getting the honor and the privilege to walk in the anointing of accumulation of several generations. I am not kidding you. It works that way. It's either through drunkenness and your generations go that way, or through the gospel and it goes that way. And I'm thankful for what I've got. I really am. Because it's real and it's honest and it's godly. It really is. And a lot of the things I say and do, it's not really things that I've accomplished in my lifetime. It's other generations of gospel that's been piled on top of me also. I'm telling you, that's right. I believe that with all my heart. And I have to stand up for what I believe is correct. And so far, these elders haven't called me down, so I guess it must be pretty straight and right. So far. All right, now last night, we started off with a Lot. And I realize that I talked most of y'all into believing that y'all was Lot's choice. But some of you are not. Most of you probably are. You got to decide that between you and God. I've made my decision. And inside your heart, where you live, and all your fancy clothes and your cars and all your checkbooks and all that's in there, where God rolls past all that garbage, it doesn't mean anything to Him. It just does to humans. When He rolls in there to where you really live, He knows who you are and who you really are inside. All right? And you can't fake Him off. You might me, but you want Him. But you want me very long. You keep hanging around. Because somehow or another, I've been able to... God's allowing us now to be able to pierce through all the facades. I like that. I really do. It's fun. It's just like taking a sword and just slashing away at all the stuff till finally there's a... There you are. Hallelujah. Found you. Some of y'all's walls are thicker than others, and takes a little longer to get through because you're a little bit older and more experienced at hiding. But some people are a little bit, you know, less experienced. You can slash right through and get right to them. All righty then. I want to invite you tonight. God has really given me a. Thank you very much. Anywhere. That's nice. I appreciate that. God has really given me a plan for us here. I have lots of things that I've studied out. I study all the time. But I really appreciate, because I believe you can tell if you've been in these services, it has really been orchestrated by the Holy Ghost so far. And it's getting better and bigger and so forth. And that's what we want. We want that building. We always do. And today is really going to be something, because the thing that's for tonight is really, really to me, culmination of all the things I've been trying to put to you. And I'd like to invite you to come and get blasted. We're going to start right here. I first want to pray and thank God. Father, thank you for the Holy Ghost. We appreciate you so much. God, and I just want to, God, I make no excuses. The things that have been said are true. And I ask you, God, to reveal this to the hearts of your people by the blood of Jesus. God, it's a simple matter. If we made lost decisions and bad decisions, God, we can get them corrected in Jesus' name by being honest and open. But God, if we truly are after the heart of God and fallen on the altars of God, we can walk in Abraham's decision also in Jesus' name. And I ask you for it by the blood of Jesus. Haban the devil. Limbo rasata pakatelehe. See, when I first started off, go to Genesis chapter 15, please. When I first started off in as a young minister, and I got out in New Mexico and all of that, it was real hot, and I started toting around these handkerchiefs. You see? See, this is a brand new one. It ain't never been anointed before. It's real. You see how kind of stiff it is? And you know, that's how things are when they don't have the anointing on them yet. They're stiff. You know? They don't know how to be loose and go for it. And so it'll change during the process of the meeting, though. People made fun of me. They poked fun at me. You stupid man, put your handkerchief up, you know. But now, after all these years and men hanging on to all these handkerchiefs, see, they've become my little friends. And these things are loaded. They really are. And they're powerful. The only reason they're powerful is because I believe I get so tired of praying. And then God uses them things and blasts it. You know, and I have actually found scripture for it, and we'll use it tonight. Genesis chapter 15, and we're going to look at verse 1. Now, if you remember some of y'all that were here last night, Lot made some terrible choices. He allowed strife. He allowed what his eyes and materialistic wants and desires to overcome what he knew was right and had been taught at the altar of God as right. He chose Sodom. And it cost him everything dear to him, right on down to his own daughter's incest, his wife, his fortunes, his friends, his other daughters and sons-in-laws. I mean, it's just an amazing mess he got himself into because of one decision. And boy, that bothers me, because I know so many good people that I have personally been in with in ministry. That they come to a point where they'll make a decision where they could back down and really give place to God for a minute and trust God for a moment, just a short moment of time, and things would have relaxed on them and it would have gone with God through the flow. But no, they choose Lot, go to Sodom, and get broken all to pieces. And I hate that. I really do. I work with people. I have men sitting right here that can tell you that I am. I don't seem like this kind of a person, but I make them mad at me because I keep trying to help people and try to keep them out of Sodom. And these guys get really upset with me. No, let's go ahead and blast them. I don't want to blast them because I know what's out there. And it's not for us. All right? Now, let's go into this thing. Look at Abraham's. See, Abraham chose to trust God and let Lot make the decision, and had Lot chose God's altar, of course it would have worked out for everybody better. But he didn't, and he had to eat what he chose. So that's the way it is. There's a saying in the South, you roll the dice, you pay the price, you see. And that don't fit too good in the gospel stuff, but I mean, you get the message, right? And but look here, I want to look at this, because see, everybody looks at Abraham, the beginning of our faith, the patriarch of all of us, that we all look to for how to live as righteous. But what I want you to see is very important to me, that you see that choosing Abraham's way in the beginning, you do, it is a little drier out there in the mountain. It is a little harder, steeper, harder to get your flocks fed. It is. God is with you, and it'll always work out. It doesn't matter what it looks like or how you feel about it. Your emotions are a zero. Don't go on that. Don't go on that ever. Don't follow your emotions. Follow the Word of God. Follow the Word of God. Can the emotions, your emotions are going to keep you in trouble. So can it. And so I'm going to show you right quick here that Abraham and his wife, good people as we look at them, you ladies and us men, we look at, you know, Sarah and Abraham as our leaders of what we should be like. They made some pretty good mistakes. They did. They made some mistakes to the point of calling God a liar. But it did not cost them Sodom. And it's because they chose the altar. Do you hear me? They didn't choose the temporal right now plush blessing They chose the altar, and it's very simple. It's just like this. The Bible says it clear as this. It says, if you'll fall on the rock, you'll be bruised. But if the rock falls on you, you'll be crushed. Now, there's a big difference in that, wouldn't you say? I can handle a little bruising, but that crushing, like Lot got, I don't like it. All right? I've made a couple of wrong decisions. A rock hit me before. I don't like that crushing. Okay. After these things, the word of the Lord. Now, you got to understand that last night we was... This is all mingled up now with Lot. Lot had already done his choosing, and these lives are intertwined now and all of that. They're parallel down through here. I'm exactly the two guys are, all right? And at the same moment in time I'm talking about. There's not a 200-year stretch here. These are the same days. They're walking out the same hours, but the choices were completely different. And it says, in these things the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Fear not, Abraham. I mean, this is after he did right by trying to work things out with his kinfolk and with another man of God. And the choice was made by Lot. No, I'm going to go with strife. Boom. Goodbye. All right. Abraham, I know that feeling when that happens. That is a horrible feeling. It's a, oh no, you're alone now. Because you trust the men that are around you and you work with, and they bail out on you. It gets rough. It gets lonely and all of that. Well, here comes God in on Abraham, because God knew Abraham made the right choice. So Abraham gets a visitation from God, and God's first words is, don't be afraid. Because whenever you make these decisions in life and you're going along and everything, you always wonder if you made the right choice. When you stand for God and you won't bend and you're not compromised, you know, like, I'm always that way, because almost every day it seems like I'm into some kind of situation where I say no. It's easy for me to say anymore. In the beginning it was kind of hard, but anymore it's real easy. I say no before you're finished talking. No. Really, you can ask these guys I work with. The answer is no to begin with. You're going to have to convince me it's God. I'm not going to believe you for your words. God's got to touch me, or I'm not going to involve myself with you. And it's not that I don't like you and love you. That is not even part of the point. Point is to not offend God. All right? That's the point. That's what Abraham did, and he did right. So God comes and immediately says, don't worry about it, son. I'm taking care of things. All right, and then so there we go, and so he begins to explain to God, you know, what's going on here. I'm childless, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. I mean, spilling his guts to God. I done lost my cousin, my nephew now, and I ain't got no kids, and oh, God, and boy, it's rough. It's a rough life here, God. Hanging out at this altar gets hard, God. Now, he's just talking to God, and I mean, if you understand that, God wants your honesty. Most of us feel like when we go to God, you got to go in some kind of a way and fooling with a being that don't understand. He's got a club, and you do anything wrong and you're hammered. Well, honey, you'd have been hammered a long time ago. I'm telling you, if he was that way, we'd all be smoked. We'd be nothing but a vapor here. I mean, that's what it says right in my Bible. He knows that we're nothing but a dust and a vapor cloud. I mean, that's what God knows. But we go to him like he don't know us yet.
He was there, man. Praise God.
No, that ain't the way it is, buddy. Come on. All right. So then, you know, and God speaks back to him in verse 4. This is not going to be your heir, but it'll be coming out of your own bowels with your own wife. Okay. And he brought him forth abroad and looked and said, now you see the stars and all that. Now, look at verse 6. Still, Abraham is making choices. Here's another choice. He had to believe God now that the fear... God was going to take care of all that stuff too. He made the right choice. Now he's inside the altar boundaries. God shows up. But he still, when God got there, he still had to make another choice to stay there. And to walk it on out. All right. Now, it's a continual thing of choices with God. For some reason, God won't hammer me upside the head with his power and say, all right, you made the right choice. Click you in. Now you stay in. Now I'm a robot. He won't do that. It's over and over, continually. Day after all these new fresh touches we're getting, my wife went straight into another 21-day fast here this month, specifically for my strength. I mean, we're continually making choices to seek God and to blah, 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 on and on. Every day it's a new choice. Because every day is fresh and new with God. It is, I'm telling you. And you have to accept that. Because what you did yesterday probably won't work for you today. You've got to choose today to go on. Really, I'm serious. And he believed in the Lord that was counted, and he believed God. He made the choice to keep going. Right? Y'all can see that. I know you can. So they was given this land, and God gave him this land to inherit it. All right, now, he made the right choice. He began to make this covenant with him. Right? Go to number 16, Genesis 16, verse 1. Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaiden, Hagar. And Sarah said to Abraham, "Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing." Now, here we go. Here we go. Man is in the covenant. He's in the altar. He's broken himself. He's fallen on the rocks. He's bruised himself. He's lost his friends. He's lost his strife. He's hit the camp. But the choice was made and he stuck with it. Then he went on in deeper, made the next choice, which was counted to him for righteousness. And now he's explained all this stuff to his wife, and she's now sad because she feels like she's let God and her husband down because she can't have children. So she comes in here, says, "Look, I'm a defeated. I'm nobody. I'm nothing. I blah 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 blah." You know, Abraham's looking at her. Yeah, that's right, I guess. So then here they come. They bring in this handmaiden, and next thing you know, he's got him another concubine, another wife, and he stepped outside of God's purpose. God specifically said, "Your wife Sarah will bear a son, and your seed will be the stars of the sky." But here he is now, a while later, and Abraham makes a mistake. All right. And Abraham's wife took Hagar, an Egyptian, and dwelt in the thing, and gave her to be wife. And he went to Hagar, and she conceived. Listen to this. And when she saw that she conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Immediately, by this wrong choice or mistake, Abraham allowed another conflict in his tent. All right. Now, watch what Sarah says. It's important. She's the one came, you know, "I'm going to help you fulfill God's plan for your life. I'm going to help you here." And Abraham, you know, he didn't stop it. Now watch what his wife's words are in the next verse. In verse 5, Sarah said to Abraham, "My wrong's on you, boy. You knew better." Right. Now, they were all of a sudden in marital problems here, and strife and distress and every kind of thing has set in the camp. Oh, Lord God. And this is inside righteousness and inside the altar. This is not Lot. This is the man that made the right choices. Now he made a mistake. All right. Now, let's keep going. See, the thing that I see in this is very important to me is that he was a human being, and we try to place Abraham, Moses, and Isaac, and Jacob, and Elijah, and Elijah, and all these great men, and David, and we put them guys on pedestals when we try to put them equal with Jesus and equal with God. They're just not that. They're human beings just like us. Totally susceptible to mistakes just like you and I. But the difference is, Lot chose Sodom, Abraham chose the rock to fall on, and because of the difference, even though Abraham made the mistakes, he didn't get consumed like Lot did. That is my point. He did not get consumed. Now, he had to live with the strife and the distress and the division and the fights. He did have to live with that stuff, but he did not have his herds and all his stuff taken away, and there was no incest. Da, 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 da. No, goes the blessings of God, right? Because why? Because of his initial choice. Are y'all hearing this? And you better get this. This is a word from God for us. That God sees that we're human. That doesn't give you right nor reason to make mistakes. And to choose and be stupid, okay? But it does give me an understanding that if I'm in the right choices and I do make mistakes, God will forgive me and help me because His hand's on me. But if I choose Lot's way, even though I know what's right and have been at the altar, I will be destroyed. There's two different completely things going on here. And it's very serious, both of them. I want to be Abraham. I know you do too. I want to make the right choices. But I want to also understand that I am human just like Abraham is or was. And that I am susceptible to making a mistake. All right? But I want you also to see that God, in that mistake, didn't do the same thing to Abraham he did to Lot. He did not. There's a difference in pitching your tent toward Sodom and pitching your tent toward the altar of God. There's a difference. I have chosen in my lifetime, thanks be to the holy name of Jesus, to pitch mine toward the altar. In Jesus' name, I will continue. In Jesus' name. Now, Genesis 17, verse 1. I think that's right. Hang on, let me look. That's not right. I just don't have the time to do it all. I would. But let's do it. Let's look at 15, 16, 17. God said to Abraham, "As for Sarah, your wife," you won't call her anymore Sarai, but you'll call her Sarah, princess. "And I will bless her." Now get this. This is the lady that made the mistake. Now I don't know how many times, whether it's a year, two, or three, or something has gone by here, and you got this heir that's not an heir in the camp. And you got these politics now between these two ladies going on to win Abraham's favor. Big time politics now, buddy. Okay, and everything's going on, and God speaks to Abraham just flat out. He didn't say he's going to bless Hagar. He said, "Your blessing is going to come through Sarah." Is that not true? All right. Yeah, it says, "And I will bless her, and will give a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nation. Kings of people shall be of her." Then Abraham fell down. Now watch this on his face. Now watch what he did. I really want y'all to get this tape from next thing, because I'm going to talk about something in a minute over the New Testament to the next crowd that's going to blow your mind. But I want you to, it did mine. Maybe it will yours. But look here. Abraham fell on his face, and what did he do? What did he do, saints? Who was he laughing at? He was not laughing with. He was laughing at somebody. Now, who is that he's laughing at? This is another mistake. You don't laugh at God. My Bible says he'll thump you and laugh at you from heaven. It says it right in my Bible. You know what I found out about God that y'all don't like to hear? He's a head lopper. It says it right, just those words right in my Bible. You made a mistake, let me find it. God will lop their heads off. It says it right in my Bible. These are people that make the wrong choice I'm talking about. He's a head lopper of wrong choice people. And he said in his heart. Now see, that's the problem. God walks around in our hearts. So you can look at me and you can smile. You can be smiling at me and saying in your heart, "That guy's a fool. He's crazy." Said, I look at you, I say, "Praise God, they're receiving good. Hallelujah." But God's sitting there going, "Shut up. Leave that boy alone. Back on it, boy. He's my friend." And it says right here, "Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, 'Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?'" That is not possible. Physically, it's not possible. It's not. It won't happen. Outside of God touching Sarah like he did Mary. And the equivalent is the same. The blessing of God had to run and had to start right there. Okay? Now then, we're going to jump over here to Genesis 15. "And the Lord appeared unto..." 18, excuse me. "And the Lord appeared to him in the plains of Mamre and set the tent door in the heat of the day." Now you got this old guy sitting out there in the body. He's hot. He done got tired. He's sitting down. He's watching that heat shimmer up on that old desert that he had chosen. He's watching that old mountain burn, you know. All right, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and there were three men standing there. He got right up, walked over there, and bowed on the ground toward him. "My Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, pass not, I pray thee, from thy servant." Now, these guys are on the way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But they come by Abraham's house first. See, the choice that Abraham made brought them to him first. All right? All right. Let a little water, I pray, they be fetched and wash your feet. Now, he's taking care of these guys and, the heat of the day. And they said, okay. So he runs out yonder and talks to Sarah and said, real quick, and I don't know if you ladies know anything about cooking, but you don't real quick knead up something and cook. It takes a few minutes. It takes a few minutes to kill a cow and have it all made up and cooked up and boiled up. We're not talking about a 15, 20-minute microwave oven from Burger King. We're talking about at least an hour or two here of preparation. And these guys, Abraham brought them in, set them down, served them. And Abraham is the king of nations, and he's serving like he's supposed to. All right? All this goes on. He took butter and all that and the calf, which he dressed set before him and under the tree and said, hey, let's eat, fellas. And the guy looked over at him and said, where's your wife? Oh, she's over in the tent. Where's she supposed to be? All right. He said, I'm coming back here at the time of life, and Sarah, your wife, is going to have a son. Now, here's another mistake. Listen to this. Sarah heard it at the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Sarah and Abraham were old. This is important, very important, and stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. She had lost her ability to produce eggs and have children. And it says right here in verse 12, it says, therefore Sarah laughed. Now look at, can you believe this? Now, I personally believe the reason Sarah laughed is because Abraham did in the first. I believe that so as it is with the head, so it will be with the rest of the body. I believe that. I really do. And it says right here, I'm old and I... shall I have pleasure? Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the Lord said to Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Now, look here. Sarah's over yonder, and he's talking to Abraham. How did he know that? Because he knows the heart. That's how he knew that. Shall I of a certainty bear a child which am old? And then here's the angel's reply in verse 14. And this is my question to you. Y'all, I have come here. This is my second time, and I have brought out a lot of things that many of you people look at, you raise an eyebrow at me, and I ain't going to explain nothing to you. I don't have to. I'm just telling you this is what happened. God's moving. The powers of God are real. Now, is there anything too hard for God? All right, you instantly tell me no, but you will not believe it. And I refute you for that. I stand there and look you right in the face because I know you. You know the Bible better than I do. But you can't stand on nothing of it. You won't. Not that you can't. Everybody's been given the ability to submit to God. The problem is you made the wrong choice. You choose not to. Now, we have got to change our choices. We have got to know how to, when the Bible says, is there anything too hard for God? God's setting us up. He knows there's nothing too hard. He knows he can do anything he wants to do. He's just waiting on one of us to stand up and say, wow, did you hear that? I believe it. It'll happen. Come on with it. Let's do it. That's all he's waiting on. And he says, go. Go with that right there. But then you look on down here. I cannot believe these people. Look at verse 15. Sounds like a bunch of Americans. And Sarah denied that she laughed. That's exactly the way Americans are. You know what I think? I don't think it has to do with being American. I think it has to do with being a human being and having a rebellious heart toward what's right and what's godly. Because the devil is pushing on us and messing with us all the time. Always. So is God. And I want to submit to you today that I think it's God for us to submit. Because here's why. Now, here again, I've showed you several mistakes that Abraham and Sarah have made. But now let me show you what happened even though they made these mistakes. Lot made a bad choice, gets down here, he makes mistakes. What did it cost him? Cost him everything. Abraham goes and makes the right choice, falls on the altar, gets bruised on the rock of God, but he makes mistakes. What did it cost him? Nothing. Stress in the house, distress, strife, yeah, that stuff's rough and it's hard to deal with. But when you're still eating your calf, you got your butter and your bread, it's all right. It makes it a little easier, don't it? Amen. It does for me, I know that. Now, where am I supposed to be now? Because I got to quit here. All right, you ready? Genesis 21. And the first 8 verses, we'll look at that and we're going to read it and we're going to pray, okay? But I just want you to see that there are 2 different choices to be made, and it's very simple. I don't see any other choices. I've looked in this Bible from one cover to another. Several times have I read it through, several times, and I only find 2 choices. You either submit or get busted. I mean, it's your choice. That is your choice. There's no other choice. And a lot of people tell me, oh, I'm submitted, and their life is busted. You're lying to me. God knew it all along, but now you didn't let me see it. Because time will bring it out. Amen. Your choice won't be hid. Time will bring out what your real decision was in the heart. Genesis 21:1. And the Lord visited Sarah. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the ability of God to do what He says He will, and not ever lie, not ever back out. He won't back up, so I'm not going to. And the Bible says right here, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he said He would. He touched a 90-year-old woman. Actually, she was about 91 by now. And touched her, brought back youth and life into her womb. God touched Abraham and brought back youth and life into his loins. And they had their union, and it happened. God created a miracle like He said He would. And when I come here talking about God creating bones and growing limbs and doing stuff like that, y'all look at me, oh, yeah, praise God, bro. That's crazy. This man that was dying with cancer that God touched, you weren't dying with cancer, so you didn't need a touch, so you didn't come after like He did. I'm telling you, I believe that people are in such a state a lot of times that it really would make a difference if Billy Goat touched them. They believe God. They receive easy.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, I'm nothing more than an instrument. I know what I am, but I know who God is. I'm learning more about who God is. Let's put it like that. It says right here, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, Shatikata, at the set time of which God had spoken. And Abraham called his name Isaac. And Abraham was 100 years old, verse 5, and when his son Isaac was born unto him, and Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh. Now look at the laughter. What is the difference in the 2 laughters? One was laughing at, now we're laughing with God. There's a lot of difference. Yeah, there's a lot of difference. I think it's necessary for you to see that, and I think it's necessary for us to walk in that. It's much easier to laugh with God. Even though in the beginning of your decision and your beginning laughter, it seems a lot drier, it seems a lot harder, it seems like a lot of people are mad at you. A lot of things happen in the beginning of your first choice. But if you'll keep walking, in the minute God will change, in the process of time, God will change that laughing at to laughing with. If you can trust Him that long. But it does take a minute sometimes. It really does. Now, I'm pretty happy about that. And then now we've got feasts going on and the Bible begins and the covenants of God are made and done and brought forth and manifested just like God said they would. But it does matter. It matters whether you choose Sodom or Lot's way. It matters if you choose Abraham or in the altar, God's way. There's a lot of difference. And I want you to see the difference between the two. It's very clear. Very clear. And I want to just ask you if there's anything too hard for God. Your first thing to me always, oh, I know the Bible. No, there's nothing too hard for God, David. Well, why are you living in Sodom then? I cannot understand that. You're going to trust this way and this system that we live in, and strictly forbidden for us to do that in the Bible. But you're going to follow it and live in it and be part of it and compromise to it till you're broken up. Why? Why not in the beginning choose and take that dry part first? Because in a minute it's going to turn into laughing with God and turn into milk and honey, and the pleasures of heaven will be on you, and the prosperity and the life and the blessings of God will overtake you. They have to when you do it God's way. And even though you're human and walking through that way, you will make some mistakes. If you know how to fall on that altar, those mistakes won't cost you Sodom. They won't. Would y'all please stand up with me now? Let's pray. I apologize to you. You had to get a little shorter version, but you get the point, right? Because there's two more points on this thing that are very important for you. And I just asked you, if you would, just to take the next thing and take a tape and listen to it and meditate on it and try to receive, please. And don't be mad at me, because it ain't going to do any good. Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, I appreciate your people. I appreciate their patience. I appreciate your word and the authenticity of it, God, and how you can show us and reveal to us and bless us and cause us to receive, cause us to walk with the Holy Ghost, and cause us, God, just put it plain. I thank you that I can believe you that you can do anything. I thank you, God, in Jesus' name, that you can do it. I believe it. That's how come I had a couple of trucks that were submarine trucks. Went under rivers. The river rolled over the top of my trucks. And my trucks didn't die and go out. They kept running because God said it was all right for them to run underwater. Amen. Air-breathing combustible gas burners can run underwater, whether you believe it or not. Doesn't matter. Legs that have been eat off by leprosy can grow back out because God said so. People that's born without livers and parts of their body and eyeballs, I've seen them grow right back up in their head and legs grow out and limbs and all. I'm telling you, because God said let it happen, so it happens. I've seen people that were dead from diseases that slaughtered them get up because God said it was possible, and if you can believe it, it'll come on you. There ain't nothing too hard and too impossible for God. I don't care how far-fetched you tell me. My Bible says anything I ask for, I can have. But the problem is, I don't ask outside of His will anymore. I used to ask out of lust and selfishness. Not no more. I do it now to consume it in the kingdom of God. There's a difference in that too. That's something else we've got to talk about later. But I've got some news for you. The availability of the power of God has no limits. Things that we've seen and done, I believe we're just beginning to know how to trust God. I mean, this other day we had in a service, there was a simple thing. This is simple. Not so simple, I guess. But I guess it is, really. To God it is. There was too many people to eat. There were only a certain amount of these things called bocoles. They're... what are them things like? It's like cornmeal with beans inside, you know, put inside there, wrapped up in a banana leaf and boiled, and you eat that. It's really good for you. Didn't say it was good. I said it was good for you. well, to me, my taste buds, to them, they love it. So eat it. Shut up. All right. So had several Americans go there, pile of bocoles, but the problem is the brothers were not expecting another 100 and something Indians to come, and they came. But there's no food to feed them, and that's the highest offense you can give in our work, is not to take care of somebody when they come, you see. So this brother comes in there and tells Jody, you know, I don't have enough food, what are we going to do? My son, Jody, he said, we're going to pray. Let's just pray and ask God to fix this. Laid hands on them bocoles. They ate and ate and ate all they wanted, and the thing was not diminished, and everybody came and ate, and when we got through eating, the same amount we started with we had, and everybody was full. I saw it myself.
You did real good to that last part. See, church, it's not about what we've have taken pride in as God has called forth the vineyard. It's not how many times we've fallen down on the floor of Toronto. God's saying this is about a kingdom life, a kingdom walk, a kingdom power. That's way beyond what we've been believing for and living for.